This episode of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. If you read the Bible out loud in church, if you teach the Bible, or if you just read it to yourself, this can be a valuable tool for you. With it, you can easily pronounce any name in the Bible. Take a look at easybiblenamesguide.com for all the details. And I've got a 20% discount for you since you're listening to this show. Just enter discount code AB2, lowercase a, lowercase b, numeral 2 when you check out. Thank you. Hey, thanks for coming by. This is the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 476. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading the Bible on two tracks. Track 1 is the Old Testament, and track 2 is the New Testament. Every day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes in length. Today we'll read Acts 17 from the New Century Version and Acts 18 from the Common English Bible. Let's begin. Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue. Paul went into the synagogue, as he always did, and on each Sabbath day for 3 weeks he talked with his fellow Jews about the Scriptures. He explained and proved that the Christ must die and then rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I am telling you about is the Christ." Some of them were convinced and joined Paul and Silas, along with many of the Greeks who worshipped God and many of the important women. But some others became jealous, so they got some evil men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot. They ran to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas, wanting to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers to the leaders of the city. The people were yelling, "These people have made trouble everywhere in the world, and now they've come here too. Jason is keeping them in his house. All of them do things against the laws of Caesar, saying there is another king called Jesus." When the people and the leaders of the city heard these things, they became very upset. They made Jason and the others put up a sum of money. Then they let the believers go free. That same night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea, where they went to the synagogue. These people were more willing to listen than the people in Thessalonica. The Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said and studied the Scriptures every day to find out if these things were true. So many of them believed, as well as many important Greek women and men. But the people in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the Word of God in Berea too, so they came there, upsetting the people and making trouble. The believers quickly sent Paul away to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The people leading Paul went with him to Athens. Then they carried a message from Paul back to Silas and Timothy for them to come to him as soon as they could. While Paul was waiting for Silas and Timothy in Athens, he was troubled because he saw that the city was full of idols. In the synagogue, he talked with the Jews and the Greeks who worshipped God. He also talked every day with people in the marketplace. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers argued with him, saying, "This man doesn't know what he's talking about. What is he trying to say?" Others said, "He seems to be telling us about some other gods," because Paul was telling them about Jesus and his rising from the dead. They got Paul and took him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said, "Please explain to us this new idea you have been teaching. The things you are saying are new to us, and we want to know what this teaching means." All the people of Athens and those from other countries who live there always used their time to talk about the newest ideas. Then Paul stood before the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I can see that you are very religious in all things. As I was going through your city, I saw the objects you worship. I found an altar that had these words written on it, 'To a God who is not known.' You worship a God that you don't know, and this is the God I am telling you about. The God who made the whole world and everything in it is the Lord of the land and the sky. He does not live in temples built by human hands. This God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else to people. He does not need any help from them. He has everything he needs. God began by making one person, and from him came all the different people who live everywhere in the world. God decided exactly when and where they must live. God wanted them to look for him and perhaps search all around for him and find him, though he is not far away from many of us. By his power we live and move and exist. Some of your own poets have said, "For we are his children." Since we are God's children, you must not think that God is like something that people imagine or make from gold, silver, or rock. In the past, people did not understand God, and he ignored this. But now, God tells all people in the world to change their hearts and lives. God has set a day that he will judge all the world with fairness by the man he chose long ago. And God has proved this to everyone by raising that man from the dead. When the people heard about Jesus being raised from the dead, some of them laughed. But others said, "We will hear more about this from you later." So Paul went away from them. But some of the people believed Paul and joined him. Among those who believed was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and some others. Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. He had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul visited with them. Because they practiced the same trade, he stayed and worked with them. They all worked with leather. Every Sabbath he interacted with people in the synagogue, trying to convince both Jews and Greeks. Once Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself fully to the word, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. When they opposed and slandered him, he shook the dust from his clothes in protest and said to them, "You are responsible for your own fates. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles." He left the synagogue and went next door to the home of Titius Justus, a Gentile God-worshipper. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household came to believe in the Lord. Many Corinthians believed and were baptized after listening to Paul. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Don't be afraid. Continue speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you, and no one who attacks you will harm you, for I have many people in this city." So he stayed there for 18 months, teaching God's word among them. Now when Gallio was the governor of the province of Achaia, the Jews united in their opposition against Paul and brought him before the court. "This man is persuading others to worship God unlawfully," they declared. Just as Paul was about to speak, Gallio said to the Jews, "If there had been some sort of injury or criminal behavior, I would have reason to accept your complaint. However, since these are squabbles about a message, names, and your own law, deal with them yourselves. I have no desire to sit in judgment over such things." He expelled them from the court, but everyone seized Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and gave him a beating in the presence of the governor. None of this mattered to Gallio. After Paul stayed in Corinth for some time, he said goodbye to the brothers and sisters. At the Corinthian seaport of Cenchrea, he had his head shaved since he had made a solemn promise. Then, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, he sailed away to Syria. After they arrived in Ephesus, he left Priscilla and Aquila and entered the synagogue and interacted with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. As he said farewell to them, though, he added, "God willing, I will return." Then he sailed off from Ephesus. He arrived in Caesarea, went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After some time there, he left and traveled from place to place in the region of Galatia, in the district of Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a certain Jew named Apollos arrived in Ephesus. He was a native of Alexandria and was well educated and effective in his use of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke as one stirred up by the Spirit. He taught accurately the things about Jesus, even though he was aware only of the baptism John proclaimed and practiced. He began speaking with confidence in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they received him into their circle of friends and explained to him God's way more accurately. When he wanted to travel to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples so they would open their homes to him. Once he arrived, he was of great help to those who had come to believe through grace. He would vigorously defeat Jewish arguments in public debate, using the scriptures to prove that Jesus was the Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. At the beginning of chapter 17, we find Paul in Thessalonica. This is Paul's first contact with the Thessalonians. His writings to them in 1 and 2 Thessalonians were very favorable, but his first time there didn't end well with his having to get out of Dodge quickly. After being there for 3 weeks, many of the Jews and Greeks, or Gentiles, decided to follow Jesus, which caused some others to become jealous. They formed a mob and started a riot. Too late, though. The seeds for a new church in Thessalonica had been planted. Don't be discouraged if it seems like you're not having an effect. Our job is to tell the good news, sharing what Jesus did and why he did it. Tell others about the change in your life. Our responsibility is to be true to that calling. It's up to the Holy Spirit to take those seeds that you plant and cause them to take root and grow. Once in a while, we do see the fruit of our labor, but not always. We cannot change the hearts of people. Only God can do that, and we don't know when that's going to be. Sometimes we're not the ones who have the opportunity to cultivate the crop we've sown. God brings other people along who water the seeds and others who harvest the crop. It doesn't matter who it is, only that new lives are born into the kingdom. I've mentioned before on this show, but not in quite a while, my experience with my dad. I was brought up in a pretty good home, but it was not a Christian home. My parents were good people, but they didn't live for the Lord. In all the time I lived at home, we probably went to church less than 10 times. When I was about 15, a high school friend of mine by the name of Dell asked me to go to church with him, which I did. Now, at this time, I thought I was a Christian because, after all, I knew about Jesus and believed that he was who he said he was. But after attending my friend's church for several months, I realized that I had never asked him to forgive me and really be my Lord and Savior. So at the age of 16, I did just that. Well, I was so excited. But when I went home and told my folks what I had done, my dad told me in no uncertain terms that I was crazy to have done it. I tried several times over the years, even well into my adulthood, to tell him about God and why following Jesus is the most important thing any of us can do, and that he needed God in his life. More often than not, I ended up in tears because of my dad's rejection of the Lord. To be honest, I finally gave up. There seemed to be no way to open his eyes to the truth of the gospel, and it was clear that if it ever did happen, it would not be because of anything I said. I didn't want the hurt anymore, so I resigned myself to remain silent on the subject around him. But I began to pray that God would bring someone into my dad's life that he would listen to. For years I prayed that somehow he would listen to someone before he died. You know, God is so good. Shortly before my dad died, a neighbor of his shared the gospel with him one more time. Dad had become very weak and old. It was obvious that he didn't have a lot of time left. And his neighbor said, "Ken, look, you're not going to be around much longer. Don't you want to know that you'll spend eternity with God instead of separated from him in hell?" Yeah, the neighbor was blunt, but that's exactly what my dad needed to hear. Just a few months before he died, his name was added to the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not the only person who planted the seeds that finally yielded that harvest. My dad heard the message many times over his lifetime. And I don't care that I was not the one who was there when he finally accepted God's grace. The important thing is that when I'm standing before God in heaven, my dad will be there too. Do you have a similar story? If so, why don't you share it with me? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 476.lifespringmedia.com. Thank you so much for being here today. My thanks to my friendly editor and others who have so generously contributed to the value for value model of support. The only advertising you hear on this show are for my products. I don't bring any outsiders in. I'd be honored if you'd help me keep this show going. Find out all the details at support.lifespringmedia.com. If you just financially can't afford it, hey, I get that. But if you can, I sure would appreciate it. support.lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll be back in the book of Isaiah. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.